Welcome back to another episode of Fantasy End Zone. I'm your host, as always, Jake. You can follow me on X, Twitter, whatever you call it, Louie Lewis 5. That's L-E-W-Y, L-E-W-I-S, and the number 5. Thanks for tuning in to today's show. I do have a guest with me. I will introduce him in a minute, but the NFL season is back. Week 1 is in the books. There were a few head-scratchers, a few wow moments. On today's show, though, my guest and I will be talking about the injuries that occurred, because they always seem to take part and it's part of the game. Our thoughts of week 1, waiver targets, and some of the players and teams that struggled mightily, and if we're going to under or overreact to their performance. Without further ado, let's get fantasy. I am joined here today by one of my favorites, actually my favorite brother-in-law. Just don't tell your other brothers, Steven Burgum. Steven, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Introduce yourself, tell a little bit about yourself, and let the fans know.
Yeah, I'm Steven Burgum. I'm Jake's favorite brother-in-law, and he'd have to be my favorite as well. My wife and 3 kids. I'm a huge fantasy head, as well as I'm a pretty big golf addict. So I actually have a golf podcast, the Bogey Breakdown, where my brother and I are trying to play every golf course in the state of Wisconsin. So,
yeah. So if you're from Wisconsin, be sure to follow Bogey Breakdown. Even if you just want some advice from Wisconsin. Wisconsinites, yep. I guess we would call ourselves.
Wisconsinites, yeah. Just a couple of Wisconsinites. We do talk a little bit of football on there, so.
There we go. Tune into it. But it's a pleasure to have you on the show today. I know I've been wanting to get you on a lot, and our schedules didn't match up. I mean, hell, when we were in Alaska, I kind of wanted you on. Unfortunately, you're dealing with a cracked windshield.
Yeah.
But damn golf balls.
Yeah, golf balls going through the windshield.
But it's a pleasure to have a in-law who is very passionate, like myself, for fantasy and in general football. You know, every time we get together, we could talk for hours about football. I mean, yeah. You're big, you know, griller, smoker, whatever. Great stuff. And our wives probably hate it, but you know what?
Yeah.
That's why we're here for one another, you know?
I'm sure that our wives are very excited to have football back in session. You know,
Exactly.
It's an everyday thing, I feel like.
I feel like I seen a reel the other day, and it went from, oh, how's golf, honey? Oh, you know, I shot below 4 or whatever, above 4. And then he's sitting on the couch. Yeah, I got a fantasy football draft right now. And,
yep.
You know, it just keeps on going. Yep. It never ends for us, you know.
Yeah.
But how was your week 1?
Man, it was wild. I am glad, though, that we're doing this right now, because I'm sick and tired of watching that Bears-Vikings game. But yes, a lot of those games were insane. The Packers, it was just awesome when Micah Parsons came out and the fans and everything. The Packers, and then another favorite of my game, you had the Bills game. That was great. And then the Steelers and the Jets. I mean, everyone thought it was going to be a defensive showdown. Then you get just offense all over. It was awesome.
Oh, yeah, the battle of the 2 switching quarterbacks.
Yep.
I mean, what more could you want from that game?
Yeah, it was awesome.
You know, like you said, right now we are recording at halftime of the Vikings-Chicago game because, you know, we do have real jobs. I mean, I wish we could podcast and be 100% committed of just podcasting for our job, but we have real jobs and everything, so we got to kind of keep the schedule and then our life, our family life, you know?
Yep.
But we got injuries to get into because, you know, it's week one. Let's start it off. First, let's start with 49ers. George Kittle injured his hamstring and is getting an MRI, and it sounds like he's going to be missing multiple weeks, is what I heard so far. And it just sucks because it's early in the season, and these things can linger for who knows how long, you know?
We see
it each year, and that there's always, you know, a risk of re-injuring it. You just don't like to see. I mean, he had a great performance the first, you know, series out there, and after that, unfortunate for him. And then also sticking with like 49ers, Juwan Jennings, freshly paid on a raise. Unfortunately, he got injured and injured his shoulder. He went in for MRI as well, but it hasn't been clarified of what the severity of it is. But that might be one of the reasons why they brought back Kendrick Bourne for 1 year, $5 million today. What are your thoughts about those two injuries?
I think that Kittle is probably the biggest injury of the week so far. I mean, he is a dominant force. He already had four targets on that opening drive and a touchdown. And then to go down like that with an injury, that's just not good for the 49ers. You know, they need a guy like that. They don't really have like an alpha. He is their alpha wide receiver. So I think that's probably like the biggest one. Juwan Jennings, I always feel like when guys do that whole offseason dance where they're not practicing and stuff, they wind up getting injured. Same thing with Brandon Ayuk last year.
Yep. I mean, that's true. I mean, Ayuk did it, but this calf injury, you know, healed magically overnight with a pay raise.
Yep.
But also for the 49ers, it just continues. I just got notification that Brock Purdy is dealing with a left shoulder and toe injury and puts his status in week two in doubt. Like, that's not what we want to see as fantasy gamers. I mean, maybe if you're Christian McCaffrey fan or owner.
Yeah, he's going to be huge. He is their offense.
I mean, hell, he got 31 touchdowns and is scary at first because we just got reports the other day that he was dealing with calf injury again. And we're like, oh, hell, all over again.
Yeah, I was very scared every play because I finally got shares of him this year, of course. And then just every day, I'm just hoping that hoping he stands back up.
Yep. I mean, it's the only year we can get shares of him if you're not a one or two overall pick.
Yep.
And, you know, it's good that he's healthy. Yep. Some other injuries. Wide receiver Falcons, wide receiver Drake London left the game with a shoulder injury, is labeled as a shoulder sprain. Considered day-to-day. This is kind of huge news as well. He had 15 targets in the game before he left, and he didn't play the last series where they're driving down. Hopefully they could score, kick a tying field goal. They missed it, loss. Does he play this Sunday against the Vikings?
I think he does. I mean, it's hard to know with him, you know, just being a shoulder sprain, but then him not coming back into the game, that kind of always puts your – especially when you're that close to tying the game, that always puts the status for the next week in doubt. But, man, you hope so. You know, he's a big part of their offense.
I mean, it helps Michael Penix very much if he's there. Sure, I mean, does. 15 targets, that's a boatload, you know.
And that's exactly what you want to see out of your wide receiver one.
Oh, yeah. And a lot of the times you've seen him getting drafted in the second round multiple times.
Yep.
And you could pair him up with, you know, a CeeDee Lamb possibly or St. Brown, whatever it was. And you got two great wide receivers.
Yeah.
Another injury, Brock Bowers injured his knee, did not return. I was sad because I have him in multiple leagues. In your league, I have him. I'm like, no.
Still tight end one of the season.
Yeah. I mean, he hurt his knee, still had over 100 yards. What more can you want? But I felt this one personally. You know, How do you feel about that? You know,
I
is he
going
to be playing next week? It sounds like he is.
Yeah, I think.
I mean, he told reporters he is fine and won't be a concern, but
yeah, I think he's going to be okay with that one. He is their whole passing game. So with, you know, with being able to tight end and being injured and still getting over 100 yards, you know, that's not good to see, but you hope that it's not something that's going to linger is probably the biggest issue.
Yeah, definitely. And the final big name injury is Evan Engram, injured his calf. Here we go. We're talking about calf injury again. Did not return. I haven't heard much of this one, but how do you feel? Because I think, isn't Evan Engram one of your guys? Like, I know you always target him in a lot of your drafts. It sounds like.
Yeah, I only have him in one team this year. But that it's always hamstring and calf are injuries that I always am always very worried about, especially in the beginning of the year, because those are injuries that just linger throughout the year. I feel like yep. If a guy goes with a hamstring or a calf, they're going to be popping up on the injury report. And it seems like that they re-injure them all the time.
Yep. Each week they're going to be on it. Other injuries is Puka Nacua did get evaluated for a concussion. Luckily, he didn't and had a monster game.
Yep, huge.
And like I said, we are recording at halftime. So if somebody else gets hurt, we're sorry we didn't, you know, mention them, but we do have real jobs. The last breaking news is Tank Bigsby traded to the Eagles. What is your thoughts on that trade?
That is huge news for anybody that took the shot with Travis Etienne. Everybody forgets that just 2 years ago, he was a stud. He had a bad year after an injury. Apparently the Jacksonville Jaguars did not feel like that was going to be a problem, and he's their guy. And as people that were drafted him in later rounds, that's a huge, huge win for you guys. Tank Bigsby, I feel like he's going to be basically nothing now going to the Eagles.
I mean, Will Shipley, it sounded like he injured his ribs, but they said it's not because he got injured. Maybe it's – we know A.J. Dillon sucks.
Yeah.
He runs – closes his eyes and runs into his offensive line.
Yeah.
He's not that much great. I did hear that they're looking for a return specialist, and maybe Bigsby is like returner. But even then – huge news for Travis Etienne owners. I mean, we even look at that game. Travis Etienne played a hell of a game for one.
Yeah.
Two, the next man up that I seen was actually LeQuint Allen, my guy from Syracuse. He had one carry and one catch before any other running back got any touches besides Travis Etienne. I know there was a big rain delay, I think it was, lightning delay, but nonetheless, Tank Bigsby played 11%, and now he's gone, so you got 11% of snaps going to someone. LeQuint Allen had 11%, and Rashad Tootin, if everyone was so hyped up on him, only had 8% snaps.
Yeah, yeah, he didn't do much.
Nothing.
I think it's going to be Travis Etienne and basically it, you know. I think he's going to be – he could be a league winner.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. When we were getting him, what, in the sixth, seventh round.
Yeah.
Dart throw at that point.
You know, especially with guys – like, I like to go wide receiver heavy in the beginning of the round. So, for guys like me, like, I took him and I got him in a 14-team league. And having – just I'm stacked at wide receiver and to be able to have that guy to be able to throw in my lineup every single week when my running backs were a little bit iffy. That's huge for me.
Definitely. All right. Let's get in some talk about these games. What was your thoughts overall? You said week one, you really enjoyed it. I mean, football is back.
Yeah.
Football is back. I mean, week one, that's the biggest hype. Football is back. You know, for me, a lot of these top majority players struggled, I think, in my eyes. Like,
yeah,
you know, you got a bunch of other guys that we'll be talking about later on, but there's other players that are struggling right now. I mean, do you know, is there anyone you want to talk about specifically right now that's not on the list later?
I feel like guys that really bothered me were Dak Prescott was a guy that, you know, I had big hopes for. And then starting off the game, that first game, you know, a lot of people threw him in over other guys maybe that they didn't like because of that Phillies defense. But then he came out and he looked good. And then all of a sudden they just stopped throwing the ball. He had no touchdowns. He's a guy that you hope. He's probably one of my biggest ones that makes me a little bit nervous. And then Amari and Hampton, you know, he did not do well with the attempts that he got. He got a lot of attempts, but it was just kind of, you know, 15 carries for 48 yards isn't something that you're hoping for a guy that you want to be able to take the backfield over. That's not really the way to do it. And Brian Thomas too. Brian Thomas, one catch on 7 targets. I mean,
yep. If he didn't have the end around, holy crap, he'd be a big dumb.
Yeah, that one. Those are probably the guys that aren't on your list. That just they're guys that I have a big share of. Especially Brian Thomas. That makes me very nervous. Trevor Lawrence, you were hoping that he would take kind of a step forward, and that whole game was garbage.
Yeah,
honestly, but
I felt like the whole second slate of games were pretty trashy. Like, not trashy, but like it wasn't excitement. There was low scoring. I mean, the Saints, or not the Saints, the Tennessee versus
that one,
you know, Denver. It was just like, what the hell am I watching? Like, I thought Denver would put a whooping, and Tennessee had a chance to tie it up at the end of the game. And Cam Ward looked like a first overall pick that shouldn't have been there, but you know, these are the growing pains that you're going to go through. What was your favorite game though?
I'm a homer. dude, the hype for the Packers coming out. I don't think I've seen the Packers defense that dominant probably since they won the Super Bowl. You know, we've had a few games here and there where we were dominant in like one side or the other. But for the Packers to come out, they stuffed the run. People that with Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery aren't going to be happy, but I didn't pick high enough ever to get Gibbs, and then Montgomery I never drafted, but it was awesome just watching how they flew to the ball. They looked like they played with energy, and yeah, that was probably my favorite. It's a homer pick, you know, but
definitely
the energy just. You could just feel it coming off the TV.
Right. You're sitting there and I'm screaming at the TV once Parsons got that sack. I'm like,
And then, it was awesome.
My brother and my dad went to the game, and my dad, I talked to him today, and he was just like, oh my God, that's a great game. That's my first game I've been to since I think it's 1999 or 2000. I'm like, oh, okay. Well, maybe we'll have to take you more pops, you know. Just that energy and that buzz, and, you know, just being around. And you could, like you said, you could hear it coming off the stadium through the TV.
Yeah.
As we were sitting there watching from home. I would have to say, I was going to say the Steelers and Jets, like you were talking about, until last night's Sunday night football game.
Yeah.
The Bills coming back, winning the game versus the Ravens. In the fourth quarter, with like 5 minutes left, they have less than a percent chance to win. I think this is worse than the Super Bowl 26-3 comeback for the Patriots. Yeah. But I mean, that is also the Super Bowl. But
the Super Bowl.
This game, you couldn't want anything more. Back to back MVP battles. Derrick Henry, monster freaking game, except for that fumble at the end. And finally, potential breakout games for young receiving stars like Zay Flowers, 7 catches, 143 yards, and a touchdown. While on the flip side, Keon Coleman had 11 targets, 8 catches, 112 yards, and a touchdown himself.
Yeah, huge.
Like those two guys alone, I think it was a huge game for both of them and can amount to a lot because, you know, Zay Flowers was maybe a 6th round pick and Coleman was 10th round, 9th round.
Yeah.
You know,
very, very late.
And this is just game one, too.
he's a guy that people were either, I feel like with Keon Coleman, everyone was either in or out. And, you know, you saw a few flashes last year, and I feel like he could be one of those guys. When you got Josh Allen throwing you the ball, that could be a league winner for you.
Definitely. I mean, we've seen Shakir have a bunch of receptions last year. He got, I think, quite a bit yesterday. But also, like, Coleman is that go-to guy potentially now. And last year, it sounded like he always was dealing with the wrist injury. He has a whole season, off season with, you know, the Bills, learning and working with Josh Allen. It's just, hopefully it comes and be's a league winner for everyone.
Yeah.
Let's talk about a couple of these games I'm going to bring up. How about the Buccaneers and Falcons? I mean, Mbuka.
Yep.
Kind of looks like the real deal.
Yep. That's what I was going to say. He balled out, and Bijan going out there.
Yep.
First drive, 54-yard touchdown. That's got to breathe some hope into all those guys that drafted him.
And, you know, we look at it, Mbuka, 4 catches, 67 yards, 2 touchdowns. I think yesterday was like, if you had an Ohio State wide receiver, it was a great day besides Terry McLaurin.
Yep.
But Bucky Irving, is that concerning? 12 carries, 37 yards?
I feel like no.
Am I just overreacting, you're thinking?
I think a little bit of an overreaction there. The game was very close. A lot of the game, it seemed – I didn't get to watch the whole game, but it seemed like, you know, it was more throwing the ball. It was a lot of a dinks and dunks kind of thing. But I feel like that Bucky's going to be fine.
Yeah. Between the two teams, 74 pass attempts.
Yeah.
It's a crap ton.
I don't think you're going to see that every week.
No. But Kyle Pitts Sr., 7 catches, 59 yards. That's good. Is he back to his rookie year potential?
I think so. He was, you know, part of the golfing. He golfed a lot with Michael Penix over the offseason, and I think that, you know, he built that chemistry, and that's an important thing. And he's young. He's talented. Yeah. There was a reason why he was an 8th overall pick.
I mean, wasn't he like the 4th overall pick?
4th overall pick.
Jamar Chase.
Ugh. Yeah.
All right. We'll get into that Jets Steelers game. Our guy, and it's not really my guy.
My guy.
Yeah.
My Aaron guy, Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers.
22 for 30, 244 and 4. Holy
crap. Back, baby.
Oh, my. Is he, though?
That's my guy right there.
But, you know, DK Metcalf, 4 catches, 83 yards. He got hyper-targeted, 7 targets.
Yeah, I needed another half a yard to win more money. I won some money off of him, but to win more money, I would have needed another. But he was – that was being matched with the sauce. I think that's a really good outlook for the rest of the season. You know, Aaron Rodgers likes to throw to his guys, but honestly, he didn't really do that in this game. He kind of threw it all over the field. He looked like vintage Aaron Rodgers. I mean, less mobile vintage Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
You could still see he was
nonetheless. So
older.
I think he had something to prove too against the Jets. Yeah. Like, hey, I'm still good. Like, you know, you guys want to move on. I want to move on, but hey, I'm here. And he's going to have to come to Green Bay, or I don't know if the Green Bay is away. Oh, it's at Steelers.
It's at Pittsburgh, yeah.
Maybe we'll have to talk our wives into flying out there, me and you. Then on the flip side, what about Justin Fields? Man, that guy can be a league winner as well.
Yeah, yeah, I'm big on him as well this year. I drafted a lot of shares of him just off of his rushing potential alone, but he was looking good throwing the ball.
Yeah, I mean, 16 for 22, 218, 1 passing touchdown, had 48 on the ground and 2.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we heard it multiple times that they're going to do a running back by committee. Breece Hall had 19 carries for 107 yards.
Yeah, he looked good. He looked good. Looked like the offensive line was a little bit more improved than we've seen it in the last 2 years.
That's surprising. Was it Vera Tucker was out for the season as well, one of the guards.
Yeah, and Pittsburgh has a good line, so.
Yeah, good defense overall, you know, Watt, a guy that literally went to high school across the, you know, across the river from me, Keanu Benton. That dude's a run stuffer. And then, of course, Ohio State.
Yeah.
Wide receiver Garrett Wilson, 7 catches, 95, and a touchdown.
Yeah, that's – he was a
he's good with Justin Fields.
Good to stack him up. I can see this
being the DJ Moore of Justin Fields and – or Justin Fields and DJ Moore. It could be Garrett Wilson time.
Yep. Yep, I agree.
I kind of want to talk about this one just at, real quick. The Giants and Commanders. When does Dart start? That's the news already, you know.
Well, they didn't let him meet with the media. That he was available, and the Giants as an organization would not let him meet with the media. So yep.
That's why I heard reports as well, like, you know, don't go out there and talk, you know.
Yeah.
We don't want you to say the wrong thing. Hey, I'm just sitting here waiting my turn. You know, that's going to be the wrong thing.
Yeah. Russell Wilson for a guy, you know, you get Aaron Rodgers also playing for a new or had played for a New York team, comes back and maybe it's just New York teams in general. But, man, Aaron Rodgers looking good. And then you have Russell Wilson just going out there and just looking like
he was so bad.
He was horrible. Just watching him on some of those throws where, like, he threw picks that were the ball wasn't even remotely close to one of his guys. So I think Jackson Dart probably have, they got a pretty hard beginning of the season. Mm-hmm. I think they're going to let Russell Wilson take the punishment and then throw Dart in.
Well, the hardest part is that offensive line is trash. It did not look good. You know, only having, I mean, Russell Wilson had 44 yards, but your next highest, your starting running back, 24 yards. That's scary. And Malik Nabers, I could see he got mad and didn't want to go back on the field. And Daboll told him, hey, get your butt back on the field. He had 12 targets, only caught 5 of them for 71 yards.
Yeah.
Let's pick a couple more of these games out, and then we'll get into our over and under reactions. Well,
yeah, a game that I thought was just hard to watch was Carolina and Jacksonville. Carolina's offense, that's, I feel like it looks just as bad as it did at the beginning of last year. Bryce Young, a guy that I thought was going to really take a good step. You know, he's something you kind of root for after, you know, being the number one overall pick and that kind of having a down year. And then he kind of came back after he got benched and he just came out. He just looked so bad.
Yep. 2 interceptions, fumble loss. Oof.
Yeah. And then
3 turnovers, you know, just by himself.
Only completing 18 passes on 35 attempts for 154 yards. Yeah. That's not good, especially if they go out and they get a really good wide receiver in Tedrell McMillan. And it just and maybe it was the bad conditions and stuff, because Jacksonville didn't look good either. Won.
Not passing-wise, but, no, I mean, Travis Etienne looked great on the ground with the 143 yards.
The only thing that makes me worried is that they're not going to play Carolina every week. So yeah, Carolina – had the historically worst defense of all time last year. So I think that's this was just kind of a weird season and that they are game and that they come back, bounce back. But right, that one was hard to watch.
Yeah. I mean, if you see my bold predictions, I did predict Travis Etienne over 100 yards rushing because the Panthers gave up over 3,000 rushing yards last season.
They were
the
so
next
bad.
Closest was 2,400. It's so bad. In there, he gave up 143 yard rushing to one guy. Just that one game. All right, let's do one more. Let's do the Houston and Rams. There's a lot of speculation of CJ Stroud taking another step forward after last year's, you know, tobacco, but he's got no offense line. Realistically, you traded away your left tackle and you get nobody to replace him. And he showed signs of struggling. I mean, he only had 188 yards. His highest receiver had 32.
Yeah. Yikes.
Yeah.
And big Nick or old Nick Chubb had 13 rushes for 60. That team looked bad off all around.
Yeah. The Rams, though, phenomenal defense.
Yeah, I mean, especially up front.
Yeah, I mean, great. Honestly, it's pretty impressive. Nick Chubb, 4.6 yards a carry against with no offensive line. I felt like he did pretty decent with what he was kind of dealt with. And you can see that he is the back there. Yeah. Nobody else got even anywhere close to him. But, yeah, it was that game was – I felt like every time I looked at the game, there was a big play being made by the Rams, but they only scored 14 points.
Yep.
So
it was Puka Nacua. Every time I got an alert, yep. It was 20-plus yard catch, 20-plus yep. yard catch, 10 for 40 or 10 for 130. Oof, love it.
And Kyren, yep. He's just got a nose for the end zone. That guy's going to score so many touchdowns again.
Everyone passed on Kyren, and he was third-round, fourth-round guy. And I don't know why.
Yeah,
back-to-back seasons, RB8.
All he does is
what more do you want from a guy in the third, fourth round?
Yeah.
And everyone's worried, Blake Corum's going to take away, Jaquizz Hunter's going to take away. He had 18 rushes, 66 yards, one touchdown. His backup, one carry, 2 yards.
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand where everyone is getting this. He's going to fall off the edge. He just got extension. He's the guy there. I don't understand why everyone hates him so much.
All they do is give him the ball, and all he does is get touchdowns. I mean,
exactly. All right, so that's games we just talked about. Before we get into our over and under reactions for 10 players and 2 offenses, let's hear a word from the Podfather.
Pour one out for an incredible best ball season. It was a breakout 2025 for Fast Draft, but now the NFL action has started. That means it's DFS season. That's right. You might think, oh, wow, DFS, I can't win DFS. Oh, but you can on Fast Draft. You just pick any 6 guys and you put them in a handful of booster spots. There's no salary rubric you have to follow. You're not going up against thousands of killer bots in these tournaments. Oh, no. These are regular people grabbing their 6 favorite plays of the week, and that's all you have to do. And we post the ownership so that you can choose how much chalk you want. There is no drafting. It's called the Quick 6 Super Slam. The Quick 6 Super Slam is the signature DFS contest at Fast Draft. It is changing DFS. We are making DFS great again. So go to fastdraft.app and use your host promo code for a $50 deposit match. And let's go start drafting faster.
Yeah, go ahead and use promo code Lewis. It's also right there on the bottom of the screen. LEWIS for $1 for $1 match up to $50. Steven, I'm going to give you 10 players, and we're going to overreact or underreact. Ready?
Yep.
Did we get hosed again at 101 in redrafts leagues? Jamar Chase this year, only 2 catches, 26 yards. Are you over or underreacting?
I'm underreacting. The Bengals, they never get off to a hot start, which is crazy. Always having one of the top offenses. This is one of the only opening day games that Joe Burrow has ever won. They're just bad. Opening every year, it's the same. I'm underreacting. He's going to go. He's going to dominate. You guys are going to be fine.
Yes, absolutely. For me, I mean,
if not, Joe Burrow, I'll trade for him.
So bad. And if you stack these two, hopefully you had other players that stepped up. But yeah, I'm underreacting as well. I mean, he's still the guy there. The whole team played crappy. Even the Browns, I mean, they should have won. They missed 2 field goals, extra point, all that. But I'm underreacting as well. Nico Collins, the whole Texans offense, like we just talked about, struggled.
Yeah.
How do you feel? Are you under or over?
This one's a little bit of a toss up for me because, like you said, their offensive line's bad. And And as much as we like CJ Stroud, he's not Joe Burrow. So this one makes me a little bit more nervous, especially with just the amount of targets that he got. He didn't look as good this year. So this one probably they should be fine, but
I'm not. Yeah, gonna... I feel like I'm underreacting. I mean, it's one game. Like I said, if you look at the top, you know, second round guys, they all struggled. You know, Brian Thomas, I think we're going to all underreact for him. Ja'Marr Chase, you know, other players as well. Even Ashton Jeanty.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm going to underreact for him. He's the bell cow over there. But nonetheless, is something to keep your eye out for sure. James Conner. He looked to be about 50-50 split. How are you feeling about that?
I feel like that's something you could see for the rest of the season. They've been talking that they've wanted to lighten the load on him. And I feel like that they finally got Trey Benson to where they want him to be. So I think he's still going to be good, but I don't think he's going to be dominant. And he was always a touchdown guy as well. It might not be the same James Conner that we're kind of used to.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I don't think he's going to get all the bell cow work like he has in the past. And, you know, Trey Benson was a rookie last year, and he was coming off of an injury, I'm pretty sure, too, his torn ACL last year. And they, like you said, the offseason, want to get Benson involved. I'm not too worried, but if you have a better option, I'd probably think about doing the switch for your lineups. AJ Brown, he played in the season opener, only left with one target. What are your thoughts?
I feel like that's the AJ Brown experience. He's going to have games where he's going to be the wide receiver one, and then they're going to have games where they literally just run the ball. Jalen Hurts is going to run around, and you're going to be disappointed, but you've got to get out there and play him every week. I think that I'm underreacting to this one as well.
Yeah, I feel like it too. You know, like you said, Hurts was running around. I think if Parsons was there, maybe me being Homer, but I don't think I don't think Hurts is running as much.
Yeah.
Just because Parsons is there, he's a well-oiled machine chasing you down.
Yep.
And that's what the game was. Broke down, Hurts, run. Okay.
Yep. Yeah.
Ken Walker, his usage is very surprising and eye-shocking. Over or underreacting?
That one is – I'm kind of mixed on. They did split a lot more than I thought, but that offense just looked bad. Neither one of those teams actually looked like it was a complete anybody besides Jackson Smith and Jigba.
He's 19 targets. Holy crap.
I don't know. They said that they wanted, I feel like the season kind of started off the same way last year with Ken Walker, that they split a little bit more in the beginning. And then when he was out there, he was better. Correct me if I'm wrong. I can't remember exactly, but I know that they've talked up Jack Charbonnet a lot as well, but Ken Walker's better.
I feel like the drumbeat was going for Walker all offseason.
Yeah. Though.
And then we look at this game and we box watch and Charbonnet, 12 carries, 47 yards, one touchdown. Way more efficient than Ken Walker, 10 rushes, 20 yards. Yikes. I mean, Walker did get 3 catches, 4 yards. But this was also a team that was going against the 49ers that gave up the second most rushing touchdowns last season. So, and they're missing, they got rid of Dre Greenlaw. So I'm kind of like, I feel like I'm overreacting. I think Charbonnet can take the backfield just because Ken Walker, we've been pounding it all offseason. Like, he's going to fit this. You know, Cliff Kings or whatever, the offense coordinator's scheme and all this. And we look and Zach Charbonnet's touching the ball more than him. I don't know.
Yeah.
So I feel like that's a very one to watch out for. I know Ken Walker was also dealing with injuries like he always does. So I'm scared. I'm scared of it for sure.
I'm glad I have zero shares of him. It just his injury history and just worrying about the splits. I didn't draft him anywhere, but
it's something to be watch out for if anyone does have him. Next guy, David Njoku. He played 85% of offensive snaps, but rookie Harold Fannin was a target machine. Your thoughts?
It's the Browns. How often has David Njoku? How long has he been in the NFL? And you know he gets hyper targeted. He's
fifth, sixth season, something like
he's
that.
He's an animal when he gets the ball. And I feel like that they always forget about him. I feel like they forget about him on offense there in Cleveland constantly. I feel like I'm underreacting to that because he's a stud.
I feel like for me, I'm going to overreact just because he did play 85% of snaps. He got only six targets compared to Harold Fannin. I think he played like 65%. I know they had a lot of 12 personnel. I think that's what they're going for this year. He had nine targets, but he caught seven for 63. And he is doing the screens and little, you know, slants over the middle. I know I was watching the game because I was pissed because I needed Njoku for a player prop to win me $300. But unfortunately, he did not get my 50 yards I projected. But he is wide open so many times over the middle. I've seen Njoku, but Flacco decided to throw somewhere else. And just a couple of seasons ago, Joe Flacco looked great with Njoku. And
yeah,
now it's hard to say, but I'm overreacting. Like, I think this is a problem for Njoku. Caleb Johnson, what is his role?
I don't think he has one right now.
No,
I'm overreacting to this one. He does not have a role. I wasn't really sure what they were doing with their running back room. I felt like every time I looked, they were never getting Jalen Warren the ball. It was always going to Kenneth Gainwell. They were throwing him the ball a lot, but you know, Warren obviously was their guy, and it just, I don't think he has a role right now. And you know, Arthur Smith is you got to earn that, you know, he's kind of one of those guys. This one is probably out of your list is probably the biggest overreaction for me. I think that he might not do anything this year.
Yeah, I totally agree. I'm overreacting. Like one carry, negative 2 yards. He only played like 2%, 5% of snaps. Yeah. But I don't know what his role is going to be. I don't think he does have one. And, you know, this signals, you know, Warren had 11 touches, carries. Gainwell had seven. I don't know what to expect from Johnson anymore, and I'm scared because I drafted him in a few leagues. And
yep, me too.
You know, he is supposed to be projected to be the workhorse running back maybe later on in the season, but I don't see it in the first half of the season this year.
Yeah, he's somebody that it's very nervous for me. That was something I did not want to see.
No, not at all. These next three guys had good games, but are you believing in their hype? RJ Harvey got outsnapped though by J.K. Dobbins.
He's going to take over the backfield. J.K. Dobbins, he's a veteran. Sean Payton likes his veterans, but it's going to be RJ Harvey. It's just going to take a little bit of time before it's going to be just his backfield.
Yeah, I mean, you look at this. J.K. Dobbins, 16 touches for 63. He only took RJ Harvey six touches for 70. You know, any moment he had a 50-yard touchdown or 50-yard run, any minute he could take one to the house.
Yep.
I'm underreacting it. I think RJ Harvey is this year's Bucky Irving. He he's slow and steady, and then, you know, he's going to win the race overall, and he could be a league winner later on this offseason or during the season. Our second last guy, Jacory Kroski-Merritt. His rookie debut was nothing short and everything you wanted. What are your thoughts?
I think the same thing with him. It's not often you're going to get a seventh round pick that's going to make that big of a difference in week one. And I think that he's going to do enough that it's going to be, he's going to be Brian Robinson, what he was last year, just faster. So okay. I think that he is, it's going to be his backfield, and then Austin Eckler is going to be second fiddle again.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I think he had 10 touches for 82 and a touchdown, and he looked phenomenal.
Yep.
And they also, a lot of times people are saying, oh, he's number four on the depth chart. Yeah, but you just put Chris Rodriguez as a healthy scratch.
Yep.
Which is a big deal to me, and he out-touched Austin Eckler. He is their main guy, and it's going to be sticking to it. Like, he's going to be better than Brian Robinson ever was in this offense. Gives him big, you know, he averaged 8.2 yards per carry.
Yeah.
It's just.
Yeah,
he can, if you have him in Dynasty League, I got him in a lot of fourth, fifth round. I'm so hyped. And in regular drafts, I took a 15th round dart throw before they got rid of Brian Robinson and everything yep. else. I'm happy as hell.
He's my number one rostered player.
Is he really?
I have him in all but one league that I'm in. So I'm in five, so I have him in four out of the five leagues. I was very big on him. I took him in seventh round, sixth round. I took him above ADP because he was a guy that I was like, I know that Austin Eckler can make splash plays, but they need a guy. And especially after they traded Brian Robinson, that's when I started reaching for him. Yep. But I'm happy I did.
Yeah, once I seen that Brian Robinson was being shopped, I was like, okay.
Yep.
And I got the notification before a draft, and I'm like, all right. Picked him in the 15th round, my last round. It's a keeper league, so hopefully something positive comes of this. Now the last guy I'll talk about is Travis Etienne. He's clear-cut number one. And now that we got the news of Tank Bigsby being traded, it's a smash.
Yep. I think those are three guys that I'm believing the hype in.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, all three of them I am so bullish on and the rest of the season for them. And they're all running backs. So,
yeah, that's good. You
can't get enough of them.
Late round running backs.
Two offenses I want to talk about quick before we get in our quick waiver wire pickups. Dolphins. They honestly look like trash.
Yeah, bad.
How are you feeling about them?
They're bad. It's dysfunctional. Everything coming out of the preseason, just bad. It's just bad news. I don't want anything to do with them.
Nope. I totally agree. Tua, what the hell, man? He looked lost. The offensive line looks horrible.
Yep.
And I didn't think the Colts were that great pass rushing, but, man, they look terrible.
Yeah,
they just look terrible. But the last team, the Lions, how are you feeling?
I think it's going to be fine. I think that they'll figure it out. It's hard to come into Lambeau with how much energy the fans had and having Micah Parsons there. And I think that's more of a testament to how the Packers are going to be this year than how the Lions are going to be. You know, they're figuring things out with their new coordinators. I think it's going to be fine.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a learning process, obviously. Yep. I'm underreacting. Lions are a great team. They have a lot of skilled position players. The thing that I would be looking at is a new center, two guards. It's a new three of five up front.
Yep.
But they're going to get together. They're not going to win the division because our Green Bay Packers are.
That's
but
right.
I'm underreacting. I think they're going to be a great team overall.
Yeah.
Gibbs is actually finally getting running back, you know, or was on first and second down rushing attempt compared to David Montgomery, which is huge for us fantasy gamers.
Yeah, I'm underreacting on them as well.
Yeah, I'm underreacting for sure, but the Dolphins overreact for sure.
Yeah, try to trade for those guys now if you can.
Yes. I mean, after a horrible week one, go for it. All right, let's get our waivers, and then we'll get out of here. We're almost at an hour, so we'll make it quick. Give me your waiver ads, one for each position, and why.
All right. So for quarterback, I have Daniel Jones. We got to remember that he's been a valuable fantasy asset in the past. He's only 10% ownership on Sleeper, and he looked good in his Colts debut. They have weapons for him, and they have a decent O-line, and he's got rushing upside. I actually picked him up in a league, and I played him for that week one. I was regretting my decision after Herbert went off, but then he went out and he scored almost as much, so I was happy about that. And running back, I have Dylan Sampson. So he is a little bit higher rostered, 52% in Sleeper, but he is the clear-cut number one right now, RB in Cleveland, and he got 8 targets, which we love to see. That might change when you get Quinshon Judkins back, but who knows what's going to happen with the NFL during the season. And since he missed all of training camp, he's probably not going to come in right away and be the number one guy there. Quentin Johnston is my wide receiver ad. He's only 9% rostered in Sleeper, and I'm pretty sure that number is going to be much higher after this week. He's probably going to be the number one guy on waivers. He's on a good offense with a great QB, and let's not forget that he was a first-round pick only 2 years ago. And to finish off the last year, he was, after their bye week, he was targeted, did a lot to finish off the year. So I'm glad to see that they picked up where they left off last year. And then for my tight end, I have Hunter Henry. He's 37% rostered on Sleeper, and he is a good, reliable target for an ascending quarterback. He was a tight end one last year. He finished as a tight end 12, and that's when with missing a game. He had 8 games with 6 or more targets last year, and he's a guy that you can pick up and plug into your lineup and be a reliable weekly play.
Definitely. I love all 4 of them. I really do. For me, my quarterback is either Aaron Rodgers or Michael Penix. Rodgers, 19% owner share and Sleeper. He's got one of the most friendliest matchups throughout the rest of the season. You know, they face the Bengals, the Ravens twice. That's 4 games, and off, you know, both teams ranked bottom 10 last year of passing yards allowed. Michael Penix, 35% owner share. He gives you that rushing upside, and he finished as quarterback 9 of the week, and he was doing well at the end of the last season. He showed us that he can still be that guy. But if I had to pick and choose one, I'm going with the veteran, your guy, Aaron Rodgers. Running back, Trey Benson. We talked about it earlier. James Conner is now basically almost a 50-50 split. Let me tell you, Conner only played – I mean, he did play 65% of the snaps. Benson was 33, but way more effective, averaging 8.6 yards a carry. I think toward the end of the season, we'll see less Connor and more Benson, just because Connor's never finished a season, all games. So I really like Benson. Wide receiver, Kayshon Boutte. He is only 4% owned on Sleeper leagues. He played 82% of snaps, outsnapping all the Patriots wide receivers. And let me just give you the last 3 games of Booty's season last year. Wide receiver 12, 63, 5. Right now, I mean, even he still had 19 targets, 16 catches, 240, 2 touchdowns. Drake May and him have a connection, and it did not disrupt in week 1 where he had 6 catches, 103 yards. Wide receiver 17 on the week. Go add you a solid guy. And my number one tight end, and I think this is going to be for majority of everyone, much like Boutte, he's only 5% owned. Currently tight end 1 on the week. He had 11 targets, 8 catches, 76 yards. Juwan Johnson is a must add. He's going to be featured in this Kellen Moore offense. I mean, just think about Dallas Goedert last year and times that by like 1.5 for points. That's what Juwan Johnson, because he's going to be the number 2 target in this offense behind Chris Olave. So I really like Juwan Johnson.
Yeah, those are all great picks. I actually really almost picked Booty and Johnson as myself as my guys. So
I'm surprised it wasn't Rodgers, but yeah, that's a wrap of Fantasy End Zone this week. If you enjoyed the show, give it a thumbs up, like, follow, subscribe. Check us out wherever you get your podcasts. a big shout out to you, Steven, for jumping on and doing the show with me. What was your record for the week since you have five leagues?
3-2.
Okay. It was, I have 10. I didn't know I only had 10, so I might have to add a couple more next week. But I was 7-3. I'm still projected I could win with DJ Moore and DeAndre Swift in one league. But nonetheless, do you have a Twitter or anything where they can follow you or follow Bogey Breakdown as well?
Yeah. You can follow the Bogey Breakdown on Twitter. I don't have a personal Twitter, but the Bogey Breakdown, or we're on all the socials, Instagram, Facebook, and at Twitter.
Awesome. And then you can follow me on Twitter or X, whatever you call it, at Louis Lewis 5. That's LEWYLEWIS and the number 5. Till next week, I'll see you guys later. Thanks again, Steven. Until then, peace out.
From the Podfather to you, I deeply appreciate you tuning in. And many ask, what can I do? What can I do to help support the hosts, the research they do, the production costs? Go to playerprofiler.com, Dynasty Deluxe, World Famous Draft Kit, Rankings, DFS Dominator, and of course, Data Analysis. Subscribe to any one of those, and you support all of us and take Player Profiler to the moon.